Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and thank you for joining me this evening. Tonight, we have a very special guest. You may know her from being featured on TLC's The Long Island Medium. She is a spiritual healer, teacher, counselor, and past life regressionist. Please help me welcome Miss Pat Longo.
How are you?
Hi, Miss Pat.
Hi, Melanie.
How
are
you? Can you hear me okay?
I am wonderful. Yes, I can hear you fine.
Thank you so much for agreeing to be on here with me this evening. I am so extremely excited to be able to speak with you and just share some of your knowledge with a lot of people about your healing abilities and how you help so many people in just so many different ways. You're going to have to be with me because I'm super nervous because I'm just so excited that you're here and we're talking. And, I just would like to start off with, if you don't mind, can you share with everybody a little background about yourself as far as how you came to really realize that you had this gift of healing and were able to use it on other people?
Absolutely. It started probably about, I'm going to guess, around 25 years ago. And I was, my mother was diagnosed with breast and bone cancer, inoperable breast and bone cancer. And it was many years that she had a lump and didn't tell anybody about it. And when we found out, it was a little too late to do anything about it surgically. They were going to start her on some chemo, and when they did, she wasn't a good candidate for it. Her white counts would crash. So I had an appointment with a psychic, and it was happened to be a few weeks after she was told about the cancer. And the psychic immediately told me, as soon as I walked in the door, he said to me, are you worried about a woman above you and a male below you? And my son was having some issues at the time, so it all made sense. And then he started to tell me all the places that she had cancer, everything, her ribs, her skull, her pelvic bones, her breast, and he thought she had some in the liver as well. Mm-hmm. Now, is she opposed to alternative methods of healing? And I said, like what? And he said he knew this woman, and she had had some good results with cancer patients. So, okay, what did she have to lose? And she came with me. I made an appointment. I called the woman to make sure she wasn't crazy, much like people probably do about me now. And I loved her energy. She was lovely, lovely person. And I brought my mother out. I said, do you trust me? She said, yes. And off we went. Now, I was not present for the healing. She was upstairs in a private room. I was watching Oprah, and she came down and said while my mother was in the ladies' room, she came down and said, I love your mother's energy. And that's all she said. She went back upstairs and went about her business. And when we left, we were getting ready to pull out of the driveway, and she came running out. She reminded me of a flower child. She was had a flowy skirt on and bare feet and long hair and a young woman. And she said to my mother, I opened the window, and she said, do you pray to the Blessed Mother? And my mother said, every day. And she said, she was there in the room, and I was just so overwhelmed by it that I didn't say anything. And so on the way home, my mom just basically had a whole new outlook of everything. She said, why not me? And everything changed from that point. My mother went into remission, and my mother didn't pass for 15 years, and she died at 84, and it was not due to the cancer. Now,
that is amazing.
She had no problems. Yeah, for those 15 years, she had no issues. She would go for bone scans. She would go to her oncologist. They looked at her bones. You could always see that it was there, but it was stationary. It never moved. Mm-hmm. So long story longer, I became very curious at this point. Now I needed to know more. And I found myself in a metaphysical class, and, of course, it kind of fell into my lap synchronistically. And about the third week into the class. Now, the class was about paranormal things. It was 10 weeks. Every week was something different. One week was angels. Another week was UFOs. Another week was tarot cards. But we meditated throughout. I'd mm-hmm. never meditated before. And during that time, my hands began to heat up. Everything got hot, like hot pokers. Again, I had no idea it had anything to do with the class. I was about 38, maybe, and I was talking to my husband about it. I said, I don't know what's wrong with me. My hands are burning hot. Do you think it has anything to do with menopause? So I'm like, but why would it just be my hands? Yeah, these are the thoughts I was having. I had no idea why they were so hot. And shortly after that, I mentioned something to the teacher, and she was psychic, and she said to me, she asked me to move over one rainy Monday morning on the couch. She said, could you move over, Pat, and let so-and-so sit down? I was aware that there was a woman in a chair who was very, she was wiggling, moving, switching, turning, uncomfortable. And she had been in a car accident years before, and she had a lot of soft tissue damage, and the rain was making her sore. She was achy. So she sits down next to me, no big deal. And then my teacher said to me, Pat, would you put your hand on her leg? And I really looked at her like she was crazy. And she said, just put your hand on her leg. And I put my hand on her thigh, and about 2 minutes later, she had no more pain. So my life kind of took a bit of a spiral at that point, because I don't even know how I got home that day. I didn't know what happened, why it happened, why me. I had all these questions, and nobody to ask, really. I did have my teacher, who was, again, psychic, but she wasn't a healer, and there were no healers in the class, and so I really didn't have anywhere to go. I looked, I searched in the library, I tried to find books. They didn't have New Age sections then, and anything was probably in the mental help sections, but I couldn't find anything. And I finally found a book in the bookstore, and I think the name of the book was Healing Hands, but I'm not sure because I've read so many over the years. But the book that I read really helped me understand what was happening, the energy, where it was coming from, even as far as the exchange, a monetary exchange or a barter, that there had to be an exchange back and forth. So it really helped me tremendously. So in the very beginning, I didn't tell anybody. I practiced a little bit on my siblings, unbeknownst to them. Uh-huh. And one had a headache one day, and I kind of put my hands, and he was rubbing the scalp, whatever I was doing, I was pretending. And I was doing the healing at the same time. But what happened was I got the headache. She got rid of the headache, and I got the headache. Same thing happened with another sibling. She had a stiff neck. I was rubbing her shoulders, putting my hands on. Everybody said, oh, your hands are so hot. Your hands are so hot. And I got the stiff neck. So mm-hmm. I was like, okay, this isn't working. And I had a little chat with God. And I said, okay, we need to fix this because I cannot walk around with everybody's pain. And I began to really surround myself strongly with protection and to ground myself. And that seemed to do the trick. I did not get people's pain that way anymore. Like, it didn't transfer to me.
Right.
But what did happen is I started to feel people's pain. So if I was sitting across the room from someone and they had a bad shoulder, all of a sudden I would feel the pain exactly where they had it, and I could actually walk over and touch it and know exactly where it was. And so things like that began to happen. A gentleman, a psychic that I was sitting with, he didn't know me, but in the first 3 minutes of our reading, he looked at me and he said, and to some God gave the gift of healing. And that is on my card now and has always been since, because I knew instantly that I was supposed to use that. And while sitting with him, I started to get extreme chest pains running right across my whole chest. And I stopped. I knew they weren't mine. And I said to him, have you ever had a problem with your heart or lungs? And he said, yes, I had a quadruple bypass. And he actually told me he died in the bathroom in the house we were in, and that he rose above his body, and he saw himself lying on the ground, in on the floor in a crumpled heap, he said. And he said when he got to the other side, this is going to be interesting for you to hear, when he got to the other side, he saw all his friends and relatives, his pets, everybody was there, all lined up. But to the left was Jesus. And he said he walked over to Jesus and he asked him, why do some people suffer so much? Because his mother was at home dying of cancer. Mm-hmm. And he said Jesus looked at him and he said, it's what they expect. So
wow.
When he came back from this experience, he was sent back. When he came back from this experience, he was psychic.
Mm-hmm.
And quite good, I might add. He was very religious. He spoke a lot of scripture. He worked with the cards. But I began to use that while teaching in my classes. I began to teach people that it really truly is what people expect. When your thoughts do become things. And when you think something, let's just say you have a history of cancer in your family, and people begin to worry constantly. Am I going to get cancer? Am I going to get cancer? So-and-so had it. You know, they begin, it's almost like a self-fulfilled prophecy. They're bringing it on by their fears of the disease. And, you know, just because certain members of the family have a heart issue or have a cancer issue or a particular health issue doesn't mean that you have to get it, but people's thoughts always go that way. And my mother had severe osteoporosis, and one of my sisters has it, and another one probably a little bit. My mother's mother had it as well. Now, I don't have it, and I don't
right.
even think about it. It's not anything I would ever think about. It doesn't matter to me. I go through life thinking that I'm healthy. I joke with my students when I do a workshop that I always use the James Brown song, I feel good, da 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 da, and that's what I do when I'm not feeling good, okay?
Uh-huh.
I immediately go into healing mode. But
see,
I
see that as raising your vibration. You're raising your vibration. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it works better with a song, I'll tell you the truth, mm-hmm. because if you put a little wiggle in it, it goes that much faster.
Yes.
But then I recently changed my song to I Am Superwoman. How's that? That was just Sunday, actually.
That's awesome.
I decided that my body heals so fast from everything that I had a laptop drop on my foot last Wednesday, and if you saw my foot, you would not believe what my foot looked like. It fell out of the case. It was supposed to be zippered, and I stood up and I picked it up, and it fell right out, like almost like a karate chop, right across my foot and cut into my ankle, and it blew right up. And after it blew up, I put ice on it and everything. I was working at the time, and I couldn't leave. My clients were sitting in front of me, so I just put my foot up on something and put ice on it and continued. I did not have one pain, not one pain. I bruised
amazing.
Like crazy, but no pain. And if you, again, if you saw my foot, saw the colors that my foot
right.
happened to turn into, you couldn't understand how it could possibly not have any pain. I don't know how it didn't break, but this isn't the first time that something like this has happened to me. And I normally don't even bruise. I don't burn. I used to put my hands right in the candle flame, and I've been burnt by the oven many times but never get a burn. So my body does heal very quickly. I don't know if that's because of what I do, but somebody out there likes me. That much I can tell you. Because I've had too many different things happen that I should have seriously been injured, and nothing takes place. So I am Superwoman. That's
my
new song. Yes. So, but anyway,
Do you believe
hear,
that,
you know, the...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask, do you believe that everyone is capable of having this gift as long as they are open and receptive to it?
I believe that everyone has a gift. They just may not open it in this lifetime.
Okay.
And we all have the gift of intuition.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at it this way, God gave us four things. Okay, he gave us life. He gave us intuition, which is the
mm-hmm.
gift. He gave us a guide, which most people don't know about unless they're in this line of work.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave us the gift of free will, the most amazing gift of free will. That's the biggest thing.
Right.
And it's people's choices. Some people they will run from this because of fear. People that see things when they're little, or people that feel things around them and they don't understand what they're feeling, fear will shut them down. Then there are people who religion will shut them down, religious beliefs.
Yes.
Being told that it's negative or it's the devil or it's against their religion. You're not supposed to do this. You're not, you know.
Right.
People that believe that will also close down. And then there are others who have maybe had a very difficult childhood, possibly abusive, and they're too caught up in the nightmare of their
mm-hmm.
lives to recognize that there was angelic help close by, that somebody was trying to help them. So, yes, I do believe everyone has a gift. I do believe if they begin to meditate, if they find their way into some kind of a group or just to, like what you said, to begin to open up and acknowledge that we
right.
have a still small
right.
voice within us. Okay, we all have it. People don't realize it. That voice in your head, the voice that speaks to you in your voice, the one that whispers random thoughts into your head or whispers repetitive thoughts that just keep coming back and forth, and you tend to argue with those repetitive thoughts. But meanwhile,
yes.
your guidance is always at work. They're trying to get your attention. And people don't have to walk around with a shingle saying that they're a psychic or a medium or a healer. They need to use their intuition for themselves,
mm-hmm.
okay, because it's good for them. It helps them make better choices throughout their life if they tap in and tune in to their intuition.
Absolutely.
So,
see,
that's my
for
take
me,
on it.
I can tell you that I am one of those people that you were just describing. I had things happen to me throughout my childhood. I would argue with the voices that I heard until I found a group on Facebook, actually, that was a fabulous group of mediums and intuitive women from all over the world. And they helped me understand what this was. And then I found you on Facebook through speaking with a friend of mine who you also know her, Desiree.
Oh, yes. Yes,
and
I do.
She told me about you. And so that's why I reached out to you to see. I don't know if you remember really the reading that I gave you. I decided if this was something very real that God wanted me to do, I was going to step out very boldly and approach you and do
mm-hmm.
these things, you know, not only to prove to you and everybody else, but mostly to prove to myself that I wasn't crazy. And so I don't know if you remember or not.
That's the line everybody gives me. Yes, I do.
Yes.
That's the line everybody says
to
me. Am I crazy? Could you just
yes.
tell me, am I crazy? Am I making this up? Is this possible? And,
absolutely.
I hear that every day. I hear that. And,
I needed to hear you say to me that it was legit.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I seem to be the authority on it, even though that's not what I do for a living, which is interesting. I spoke to a medium today from Iowa, and she's quite amazingly gifted, yet her words were, "Am I crazy?" And I just find that the most comical of all. I get it. I do understand it, especially when you're filled with anxiety, like most mediums and healers, actually empaths.
Right.
All of you empaths out there are just overrun with anxiety, some worse than others. Teresa was pretty bad. She was at the top of my list for a while, but I've seen worse since Teresa. But when she came to me, her anxiety was off the charts.
Right.
And again, she's written about this in her books, or that she couldn't drive in the rain.
Mm-hmm.
She couldn't sit in the back seat. She needed to drive. Couldn't go in a restaurant, thought she'd get poisoned. She was afraid to eat. I think to this day she still goes to the same place all the time when she's in town because she trusts it. But
right.
She couldn't go in an elevator. She couldn't go on an airplane. Everything created anxiety for her. She was a basket case. And I think she was more concerned when she came to me that she was going to make her daughter the same way, because her daughter was starting to show signs of anxiety, and she really didn't want her daughter to suffer the way that she did.
Right.
So she came to the class, and in 2 weeks, all it took, 2 weeks, she started to open up, and she surprised the heck out of herself. She never
mm-hmm.
saw it coming. Even though she had things like you as a kid, even though she had probably night terrors, scary things, she was always yelling and carrying on. But they all in the family would just say, "Oh, it's just Teresa. Oh, that's just Teresa." And when she came to class, boom, it hit like a thunderbolt. So people need to get into a place, a space, where there are like-minded people. And, you know, I'm going to continue a little bit with the healing story just to tell you how I got to this point where I'm helping and training mediums. When I was finished with my class, and I did do 20 weeks of it, I doubled up and did another 10 weeks in a special class of people that were already using their gifts, because I started using it right away. And I always had faith. Let me put that out there really strong.
Mm-hmm.
God is my boss. Jesus is my master guide. And I always had faith that it wasn't me. I kept it clear in my mind at every
mm-hmm.
turn that this is not me. I even convinced myself that when people hugged me at the end of a healing session and said thank you, I would say don't thank me, thank God, because mm-hmm. I needed to remind myself, okay, and to remember to stay humble and to keep my
and
ego out
service.
Of it. So I worked very hard at that. So what happened was my hands would touch people and they would make tumors disappear, and you know, a baby that had a chromosome disease that couldn't walk or hold her head up, it just completely, all of a sudden her muscles filled up and she began to be able to swallow, and then she could stand, and next thing you know she was walking, and things that just seemed absolutely incredibly impossible started to happen in front of my eyes. And all I did at first was just touch people. They came in, they'd spend some time with me, I would put my hands on them, I'd just find out what was wrong with them and go on from there. However, I started to realize that when people get sick, and this is my experience, their illness comes from emotional upsets and traumas. And so I began to talk to people,
uh-huh.
and I would ask some questions when they came in and presented with a disease. Somehow my intuition allowed me to find whatever the trauma was within 15 minutes of sitting down. So once I had the trauma, and once I felt it in my solar plexus, once I felt this was the right 1, I began to teach how to heal it, how to let go and how to forgive and release the hurts and traumas of the past, and to forgive as well. And I want to preface that by saying forgiveness is for us, not for the people who hurt us. It's for us so that we don't get sick. So that was the next step. So now I'm helping people one-on-one. I'm counseling them. I'm teaching them methods to heal. And then I put my hands on them and they leave. So that seemed to be extremely successful. And I thought to myself, well, you know what? It's not enough. If I could teach more people how to balance, they wouldn't get sick in the first place. So I started a class. And the class became, started with 5 and then became 8, then became 14. And then I had no more room anymore in my living room. And eventually I built a room. My husband did. We both did it together and opened up a classroom. And I said to him, do you think we can do something after Christmas? And by February, we had a room that fit 21 people in it. But by February, I had 3 classes. It wasn't just one. It's almost like the movie or the statement, Build It and They Will Come, from Field of Dreams. Build It and They Will Come. And so I built it. And before you know it, there were 3 classes. And before the paint was dry. And then there were 4. So 100 people came through my class every week. More than that, actually, because as much as it held 21, and I was the 21, they rotated. People rotated in and out every week. I had waiting lists. So when my students were sick, they had to let me know by 5:30 in the evening so that I had time to get in touch with the people on the list. So I don't honestly know how many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people rotated through my classroom in those 18 years. But it was incredible. And it's now that I don't do that anymore, I stopped teaching after my husband passed probably about a year. And I had bigger things to do. I began to write a book and do seminars and workshops and live stream events. And I was focused on that. And then a lot of students kept coming back to me and asking me, could I please teach again? Could I please teach again? They needed me. They missed me. They this, they that. So I started last year doing a once-a-month class. Well, it's probably a year and a half already now. And so I started with, well, I put it up on Facebook one night at midnight. Is anybody interested? And by morning, I had 90 people. And
of course.
So I said, okay, well, that's not going to work. What am I going to do with them? I still only have room for 20. So I said, all right, I'll do 2 classes. I'll do one Wednesday night once a month and one Thursday night once a month. But it's first come, first serve. And there's 200 now. And I am doing it in a hotel now. And I have 40 to 50 people in each class now. And I'm about to open a morning class as well because a lot of them are asking me for morning. I used to do a morning class. And a lot are asking me for morning. So, yeah, once I got up to 30, I put it out there about 2 weeks ago, and I said, if there are people willing to go to the morning, I'll pay for another room. And right away, I had 30 people. So I know that'll grow because everybody is opening up. Everybody's
really
opening up.
Yes, I've come
it's
across
crazy.
That myself. It's like it's just amazing to me how long it took for me to open up, and all of a sudden, just in this year, every single person I'm coming across is having their own spiritual awakening. And it went from last year, I knew no one in this area who was open or like-minded, to now, like what you're saying yourself, I don't have enough room in my living room to hold everyone to have a gathering because I don't have enough space. And it is just amazing to me. Amazing.
You know, it blows my mind every day. you know, to think that this many people are, you know, their gifts. It's again, it's like everyone is being tapped on the shoulder. Mm-hmm. Wake up, wake up, wake up. It's time, it's time, it's time. And, you know, we have to honor that as much as we possibly can. But there's only so many hours in a day, and as you said, only so many seats in a room.
Right.
And, you know, there's many of us there. God knows there's probably thousands that are teaching all over the country, all over the world. But, again, you know, I don't know them all. And I try to direct people to, you know, to classes around
right.
the country. I, you know, if somebody tells me about a class, I write it down, and then, you know, they say, do you know anybody in my area? And I immediately, you know, give it out because I want people to learn. Not all classes are good. You know, I'm not going to say everybody's perfect because
right.
I – some of them, again, a lot of things are ego-based, and you got to be careful about that.
Exactly.
I recommend to everybody to use your solar plexus, feel whether you're comfortable in a space, and if you're not comfortable in that space, don't stay there.
Absolutely.
Okay? It's important. That's what your part of your intuition is about. It's
That's
about
why
that
we got,
feeling in
we
your
were given
gut.
Discernment. Yes.
Mm-hmm. That is exactly correct. We do have the ability to discern. And if you were to, you know, everybody that's listening, when someone, let's say, meets somebody for the first time, maybe you're out at a party or even if you're younger and you're at a club or anything like that, when you meet someone and you feel it, in your gut that something just doesn't fit here. I don't feel right about this. There's something about this person that just kind of rubs me the wrong way. Now, mind
mm-hmm.
you, it isn't that the person did anything to you. Okay, they didn't do anything to you, but you're feeling this feeling. And my suggestion is follow it. Don't challenge it. Don't test it. Follow the feeling in your gut that this is a mistake. This person is mm-hmm. not compatible to my energy and step back. Then you meet the people in your life, and again, this is your solar plexus at work. You meet
mm-hmm.
the people in your life who merge with you instantly, almost as if you've known them all your life. You feel almost like a sister energy or a brother energy. Those are the ones you want to pay attention to. Okay? Those are the ones that are really, probably your soulmates.
Exactly.
When you feel that way about them, and you know, you're not likely to get burned during those situations. But use your gut. You lead
Absolutely.
With your gut. Okay. You know,
I've never forgotten.
I've never forgotten
one of the things that you told me about the solar plexus, and that was to shield yourself and visualize, you know, the WWE belt, you know, the big gold belt
yes.
to protect
yes.
yourself there.
I have
that
upgraded
is actually,
that.
Really? Well, it's helped
I've upgraded
me.
That. I have to give you the upgrade. I'm going to tell you what the upgrade is. Now, I upgraded it February of last year, I think. Because, all right, I'll go to the solar plexus. I'll go to the WWE belt first. I was working with a client, and it was a teenager. No, I'm sorry. He wasn't even a teenager yet. He was like 10 years old, 9 even. Oh. And I was working with his mom, educating her on Skype. And all of a sudden she said, oh, well, he's coming this way. I'll let you talk to him. And I thought to myself, oh, my goodness, how am I going to explain this, all these chakras, and I don't have enough time, and there's no way he's going to understand it. So I asked my guides very quickly, give me something else. And with that, in my mind's eye, I saw the WWE wrestler standing up and holding this big belt in the air, their championship, you know, when they win.
Right.
It was perfect because it covers, you use the imaginary WWE belt and it covers your solar plexus and it filters your solar plexus from taking on other people's negative toxins and energy.
Energy, yeah.
It stops anxiety. It's amazing. It's wonderful how it works. It did wonders from 7 to 75. Everybody knew what it was. So I didn't have to struggle explaining it. And so what happened in February of last year is people started to come into my classroom and, or my healing room, and they were very emotional. Everybody was over-emotional, and it seemed like they were just coming apart at the seams. And so I thought, well, their heart chakras are all over the place. So I decided I needed to do more. We needed to filter a little bit more. So I made it a very shiny metal vest. Okay?
Oh, yes.
A very shiny metal vest. Okay? Mm-hmm. So it's a vest of armor. Now, the reason it's so shiny, let's get right to the point. When it's shiny like that, it's almost like a mirror. So
reflective.
When negativity towards you, it reflects back. That's one reason. The second reason is when the sun hits it or the light hits it, it reflects light everywhere. So you've got, think about a coat of armor, a vest of armor reflecting beams of light out to everybody. So that's a positive take on it. And
I love that.
The vest now filters your heart chakra, your solar plexus, and your sacral chakra. So you have three now that are being protected, and it works really well.
Oh, yeah.
So either or. You know, for the little kids, I would use the superheroes. I would use their utility belts. I would keep them in my closet. I would take out the different little toys, and I would show them the belt. But the main thing was to remember to wear it up high. You want it right underneath the breastbone. You want it on the solar plexus, not on the waist. So when you're dealing with little children, you have to direct it. My granddaughter is, she can see spirit. And I knew that she had anxiety about 8.5 years old. And I didn't know it prior to that. I was rather surprised when I saw her at a bridal shower. And I could see fear all over her face.
Poor
thing.
She
walked in the door. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I knew what was coming. So I went over to her. And I was still using the WWE belt then. And I said to her, do you get nervous or uncomfortable when you walk into a room of people that you don't know? And her eyes got really big, and she nodded her head, and I said, okay. And I took my two fingers, and I poked her in the solar plexus, and I said, do you know that wrestlers that your brothers watch? And she said, yes. And I said, well, you know, when they win, they hold up this big belt. She goes, yep. I said, well, I want you to imagine that belt on you right now. So I put my fingers there. She put it on, and I said, I want you to do it every day. So I let go of her. She went off, and she felt so much better. She actually had a great time at the shower. She was running around and playing. And I checked with her a few days later, and she said she's putting it on every day before she goes to school. She's a very good student, so she did listen.
Uh-huh.
And she didn't see. More things started to happen after that. I had to give her protection about 6 months later. I had to teach her how to surround and ground herself with God's light and grounding into the earth. And then when she hit 10, she saw her first spirit in 3D. And she was at my house at a birthday party. I had a little birthday party for my grandson. And it was January 19th, a year and how many months ago. And she came running out of somewhere. I didn't know what room she came out of, but she grabbed me by the arm and she dragged me into the bathroom. And I said to her, what's the matter? And she said, I just saw Papa. I said, you did? Oh. I said, how lucky for you. And I made very light of it, of course. Fear is never anything you want to teach anybody. And so she told me what he was wearing. She said she screamed, but nobody heard her because there was a party going on. And
right.
She told me what he was wearing. from top to bottom, right down to his UGG slippers. And so I, of course, talked to her about it. We came out of the room. I said, is it okay if I tell everybody? And she said, I don't care. So I said, all right. I had to mute the TV. They're watching football. And I said, I just want to let everybody know that Papa's at the party. Riley just saw him in the bathroom. And I just let it go. My daughter-in-law was funny. She said, I don't think I signed a permission slip for that. And yeah, she's quite funny. But Riley is my granddaughter's name, and she began to ask me questions. She said, could I ask for anybody I want? I said, I don't see why not. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, how do I talk to them? I said, you talk to them in your thoughts. I said, well, what do I say? I said, you ask them just like you're talking to me. How are you? Who are you with? What are you doing? And so she said, after about 20 minutes, she said, I think I want to try it again. I said, you do? And she said, yeah, I want to try it now. So her other grandmother had passed the September right. before. So I thought uh-huh. maybe that's what she was looking for. So I brought her to the stairwell. She said, I don't want to go in the bathroom. She said, I said, well, it was a real close quarters. So I sent her upstairs to the empty bedrooms, and she went upstairs to her grandfather's room where he used to watch television. And she came down about 15 minutes later. She grabbed me by the hand, dragged me out of the kitchen and back to the stairwell. And she said, it worked. I said, it did. I said, who did you ask for? And she said, Papa. And she said, this time he stayed in the doorway. He didn't come in the room. And I said, did you talk to him? She said, well, I did, and I saw his mouth move, but I couldn't, I heard this funny sound in my ears. I mm-hmm. said, well, you're just not tuned in yet. You're not quite ready to hear. Since that time, she gets tapped on the shoulder every morning when she wakes up. She hears her name being called before she wakes up. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's her grandmother. And she also has a little friend whose father passed away, and she was very uncomfortable going into that home prior to her experience with her grandfather and her training as far as protection and grounding. And I asked her, I said, have you been back to your friends? And she said, yep, about four times. And I said, and? And she pointed her finger at me, and she said, let me put it to you this way, Grandma. I know he's there, but I choose not to look. So I applauded her. I did. I applauded her because she put up boundaries. I taught her about boundaries, and those boundaries are no one is allowed in your space unless you invite them.
Right.
And your space is everywhere you breathe, walk, talk, eat, sleep. We have control over that. And not spirit. We have the control. And if we understand that we have the control, it's a lot easier to navigate.
Exactly.
But the most important thing is not to have fear. Fear is your worst enemy.
Mm-hmm.
So what does fear do? Fear feeds negative energy. So when you're frightened and you're fearful, you're kind of giving them a three-course meal.
Exactly.
You don't even realize it. So it's, again, it's about being calm, and it's about setting boundaries and, again, learning protection and grounding and your either WWE or your silver vest. Look, it can have pearls on it and bows on it and diamonds on it. It can have skull and crossbones. I don't care. You can paint whatever picture you want.
Right.
The point is it's the thought of putting
just
it on
it.
That mm-hmm. protects you. I have a client who's a lawyer, and he, before he goes into the courtroom, he told me that he actually stands in the bathroom and puts on an entire suit of armor mm-hmm. before he goes in because his anxiety was so off the charts. And that's what he does, and it works for him perfectly.
I do that every day. I have to have the full armor from head to toe.
Oh, that's funny.
I've been that way since I was a young child. Yeah, he's not the only yeah. one. You know, and
well,
something I would like to speak about just for 1 second, if I can,
sure.
is that I think for a lot of people, it's kind of hard for them to wrap their brain around just how simple it is to set boundaries and go through this process of grounding, protecting, shielding, setting boundaries. They think it has to be a big, elaborate thing. No. I just had a lady come, you know, and she, that was her main concern. She couldn't understand how it was so simple. You know,
I have cut it down to 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. And I've done that because of just what you just said. People think you have to go through this whole big ritual.
Right.
And they think they have to meditate for half an hour or all these different things. Listen, meditation is amazing. Meditation is the key to opening up. I will never knock meditation. But when people are finding excuses to not protect and ground themselves because they've got to get to the train, they've got to get their kids off to school, they're going to be late for work. When people are telling that to me, I had to come up with a tighter plan. And
right.
I literally shrunk it down to 5 seconds. God, surround me in a bubble of your white light and protection. Shoot my cords into the earth and lock them in like the roots of a big old tree. And slap on my vest. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It takes 5 seconds to do that. And those cords are grounding cords. They could be vines. They could be roots. They could be beams of light. They could be anchors, grappling hooks, lightning bolts. It doesn't matter. It's the thought. It's the intention to ground yourself into the earth. And that grounding creates balance. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. We live on the earth plane. If we're not grounded, we're not in balance. We're all over the place. And the world today is running everywhere. Their thoughts, people tell me all the time, I can't meditate. My mind is so busy. I can't shut my brain down. Well,
right.
You can. You can if you learn how to properly balance. If you incorporate your busy thoughts into your meditation, let's just say a thought pops in, you start a meditation, and a thought of, I forgot to pick up the dry cleaning, comes into your head. So now what you do is you just put it in a bubble, and you say, thank you, I'll take care of it later, and let it float away. And then you come back to the meditation, and then the next busy thought comes in. And once again, thank you, I got it, and you let it go away. And if you keep doing that, and you practice meditating for a solid week, you'll do more meditation than busy thought. You just, it's part of your subconscious. It has no choice but to come in. And we have to learn to quiet it. So this
right.
is it's a good practice. But protection and grounding can be so simple.
Do you mind me asking you a question about when you meditate? Do you see any particular thing every time that you meditate, as far as colors or things of that nature?
Well,
I see
certain colors. I see purple and green, and it's purple and neon green. I've been seeing that since the day that I started, and I see it when I work as well. When I'm in the zone of working, it looks like a lava lamp. It's one color is swallowing the other color, and then it swallows it again, and it just keeps coming. It's right in the center of my mind's eye. Now, not everybody gets it like that. Some people get it from right to left. Some people get it left to right, bottom to top, top to bottom. Sometimes they'll just see lines, dots. I've seen stars, like the whole night sky. Which is my favorite thing to see, because I love that all the time if I could make it happen. But it comes when it wants to come.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there's visuals. Sometimes there's a storyline. Just depends on how visual the person is. Not everybody is super visual. But the colors, when I work on people, they see colors too. So
that answers the next question that I was going to ask is, I was speaking with Desiree, and she had mentioned to me that you had done a healing session with her through meditation. And, you know, she said that in that meditation with you, there were so many colors, specifically purple, that flowed like lava in a lava lamp. And there was a lot of, visual things that came to mind. And she was saying that she's never been able to meditate like that again on her own. Is there something you would suggest that she could do to possibly be able to get in that zone again, to be able to see those things and have that experience? Yeah.
Listen, you know, when I do a healing, people have some amazing things happen. And I usually say to them, well, now when you meditate, you're probably going to see those colors. Now, you're the first one telling me that she hasn't been able to get back to that space. It had to do with the energy that was coming through me and to her. I have a huge team of archangels that work with me. And I was never aware of it. I knew somebody was. My teacher years ago told me that there was a team of people around me with long robes, but she never went into detail about it until a few years ago. A few different mediums actually saw it when they were in my room, and they both told me the exact same thing months apart from each other, and they explained the wingspan and the height of the angels, that they were actually like through the ceiling. They were huge, and that light comes through them, or I should say out of them into my head, and then I send it out my hands into your head. So it's there's a lot more to it when I do the healing work. And I'm sure, again, it comes from above, from all, for all of us. And I'm sure everybody's got different levels and degrees of abilities. And I'm going to tell you the reason for that is because of the amount of lifetimes that we've each lived. Some have lived 5, some have lived 50, some have lived 500, some have lived 5,000. We are, you know, we're repeating lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. And we're using these tools. We're learning in all those lifetimes. And then when we get here, our tools are enhanced, or at least in my lifetime, they are. In your lifetime, they are. The people that are opening up, that are on their journeys, they've done this before. So the tools just get stronger. And, you know, I'm in a place where I must have had an awful lot of tough stuff go on in my other lifetimes to get me to here where I am today. And as far as Desiree goes, I don't know. I honestly don't have the answer. I naturally assumed that she would continue to see colors. She may, but she may not get to that space without some kind of energy work. I would suggest.
Oh, well, I've already messaged her and told her to call you. I've already messaged her and told her, call her.
I would suggest that she try some energy work with someone, but it has to be somebody she's comfortable with. You should not have people work on you.
She is saying that she sees the colors. She just doesn't see the same images that she saw whenever she meditated with you. Because one of the things that I left out is that she saw a very large eye.
Aha. Now that's your third eye. Okay, a lot of the people that I work on see their third eye.
Seeing hers, because she did say that after that session, that is when she opened up to her mediumship abilities.
Yes, I have the ability to do that. That is what happens. What she was seeing was her own third eye. And sometimes people come in and they see the eye, but the eye is closed. They can see the eyelashes. Then others see the eye blinking, and then others see it wide open. Okay. And I, when I work on somebody, I open up what I call their God center, and I reawaken them. I ask that they be reawakened to the path that they chose when they accepted this physical body on earth. So many people's abilities just seem to go faster. One girl I did a past life regression on, and she was in my class, and she was doing some automatic writing, which is channeling from spirit, for those that don't know. And she was doing okay, but her mother passed away, and I didn't see her for a while, maybe a year or two, and then she came back. She asked me to do a regression, and at the end of the regression, she said everything blew to purple. Everything was purple, and her head, she said, was pounding. It was just at the end of the regression. It's happened maybe one other time, but from that day forward, she couldn't shut it off if she tried. She became an incredible medium, but it's even more than that. It's much more than that. She does what I call soul paths. And she doesn't do it on purpose. Spirit just has her draw these circles, and she keeps drawing circles, and in every circle is something important that happened on your life path. And then the circles, they almost look like when you look at a prescription paper, when you're looking at the interactions of the medicines, you see all these little circles and lines. They kind of look like Tinker Toys to me. But she builds this little thing, and she takes you way into your later years, and she shows you if you deviate off the path and when you're coming back onto the path. But she can't even sit in my classroom anymore because she has to look down, because if she looks up, she can see everybody's lives running over their heads.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
It wasn't planned, okay? We didn't know it was going to happen, but that's what happened.
It was meant to happen when it did.
It was meant to happen, and, you know, energies can be very powerful.
When you do your past life regressions for people and things like that, can that be done over long distance, or it has to be done in person?
I prefer it in person, and I'll tell you why. A few people have been asking me that. Well, people have asked me that for years, and I've always said no. Yeah, and I always said no. And with Skype today, it's a little bit easier. But prior to that, I like to have people right in front of me, because when we go into past lives, some of them are very traumatic. And I don't know what's coming, because I ask your guides to guide you to the lifetimes that are most important to you. And there have been people, you know, that have been buried alive in Egypt. There have been people that have been hung or burned at the stake for being witches. There have been people who are drowning with their children in rapids. There's so many traumatic experiences that people can experience. I like to be right there so that I can put my hand on them if I need to calm them down. When you do regression work, you know, I do it, you know, I watch Brian Weiss. I read so many books. I'm self-taught, but I've been doing it for probably about 17 years now. And I will pull you right out of a difficult situation just by counting. But again, I've had people hysterical, sobbing, sobs like you've never heard before, because they were a soldier in Normandy who they've been killed, and they're looking down upon the crowd of all the people and I remember this one girl, and she just said, "The loss, the waste of life, of young life, of all these soldiers, these young men, dead on the field." And it was more
horrific
than she could handle. It was horrific. So, you know, I like to be responsible about what I do, and I sometimes feel that is irresponsible if I'm not
right,
right in that space. You know, I know
it's
hard. I
understand that completely.
I take it very seriously. I don't like to do it in large groups
mm-hmm.
for the very same reason of what I've seen. And as long as I'm mentoring it, I do smaller groups. I could do 20 at a time. And I don't really feel comfortable with really large groups doing it because I want to be able to see everybody. I want to be able to see everybody.
That just shows
right.
your level of where you are on your path, because when you say 20 is a little group, I'm thinking, good grief almighty, 12 is a big group in my mind. So 20 to be a small group for you just shows where you are compared to, you know, good Lord.
Well, it's a lot of years that I'm doing this. It's a lot of years. It's a lot of work. And, you know, I've done groups of hundreds teaching and doing manifesting mm-hmm. workshops or healing workshops or mediumship workshops or whatever workshops. But, you know, I know Brian Weiss and different regressionists will – I've sat in one of those groups where a very large group, say 100 people, are being regressed at the same time. And since I started doing it, I'm uncomfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's because of what I have witnessed. And when I see people, a small, quick example of a gentleman that came to see me, the first lifetime we stepped into, he was a five-year-old child being taken in at an orphanage. His father was walking away from him, and the matron at the orphanage was holding him, and he was kicking and screaming and crying. And this man was sobbing in my chair. And, you know, that just happened to be the lifetime that we stepped into. And
right.
it was very emotional for him. Yes, they're wonderful when you get to the end of them because mm-hmm. they release many things. Many fears and phobias from the life that we're living today, but it's still traumatic. And again, you have to be responsible when you do this. There's a lot of people that would like to learn how to do it, and please, many people are out there teaching hypnosis and certifying people for hypnosis. But until you start to practice and until you sit down with people and you watch what happens when a woman is in a dungeon and there are rats crawling all over her?
Oh, my
Try
word.
Try that one. Okay?
Oh, gosh.
And
yeah.
it goes on and on and on. I mean, I have a gazillion stories. And they all have great endings. They all work out fine. But that's because I'm sitting right there and I'm making sure that
exactly.
we release those traumas right away. You know? So it's tricky.
We'll
it's
leave
tricky.
The past life regression to Miss Pat. That's not anything that I would ever even attempt.
Yeah, it is tricky. It's a huge responsibility, and that's
so,
what I tell those that want to learn.
Now, with the past life regression, that is not done long distance, but the healing is. Your healing sessions
yes.
can be done long distance, and so
yes.
how would one... That's
well,
the same as in person, right?
Yes, it's exactly
okay.
the same as in person. And again, now people are Skyping. Listen,
mm-hmm.
before there was Skype, before there were computers, I don't want to go back. I don't want to date myself that much. But for heaven's sake, I was just doing healings with pictures. Somebody would send
right.
me a picture. I would do a healing on a picture. And then I realized I didn't need the picture. And I would just, if I didn't have a picture, I'd just put the name down on a piece of paper. And then I realized I didn't need to put the name down on the piece of paper. I just had to close my eyes and pretend that I was with that person. And that was sufficient. And so many years ago, I was in the 90s, I was doing healings in Australia and England. And now it's everywhere. Now it's, again, I started to count the countries the other night. I don't even know if I can remember all the countries, but there's so many of them. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Energy is energy. Energy, you know, is like the speed of light. It just moves so quickly. And again, when I work with a client, when they're in front of me, my eyes are closed. And when they're on the phone, my eyes are closed. And when they're on Skype, my eyes are closed when I do a healing. So it really makes no difference. And the person's in front of me no matter what, and they feel what I'm doing, and they report back what they're feeling, and they heal. So that's how it works. It's amazing.
But remember,
it's not me. Not me.
Right, but you were able to heal. Did you not heal yourself from cancer?
Actually, no. I did not heal myself from cancer. I will tell you about that. I healed myself from a lot of other things.
Okay.
I healed myself from asthma, from sinus infections, from pneumonia, from psoriatic arthritis, which was probably the biggest thing. I thought I was going to be crippled by the time. I thought I'd be in a wheelchair by the time I was 50 because I had so much pain in my joints. I don't have any pain in any of my joints at this present time at 67 years old. At 35, I did. And the cancer, what I say about the cancer is that I had it for 15 minutes. I was diagnosed 5.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was diagnosed, it was uterine. It was actually endometrial cancer in the uterus, in the uterine lining. And I don't fear anything. So I just simply said to my doctor, so what do we do now? And he said, well, I have no ego, he said, which I loved him for that. He said, I have no ego, and I know this doctor. I've heard of this doctor who's supposed to be wonderful, and I'm going to recommend you to him. He does robotic surgery. So I said, okay, so let me have his number. And he said, no, I'll call him. And he called him up. I had the surgery done on my birthday by choice because I had two dates, and one of them was my birthday. And I said, this is a gift. And I already had my children. I didn't really need those parts anymore. So I had the surgery. But I had the surgery on Thursday morning. I got up that night. I did not have any painkillers of any kind. I didn't even take Tylenol. I got up by myself. I walked around.
Oh, you're definitely superwoman.
Yeah. I did a healing on the girl in the bed next to me on Friday morning. I went home Friday afternoon, and I was at a Christmas party Saturday night. So,
I rest my case. Yeah.
You wear that title proud.
You wear that title proud.
Yes.
You are definitely the definition of superwoman. Yeah.
I do. And I had a heart issue, by the way, and I had that in January of this year. And once again, somebody's always looking out for me. And I had to have a stent put in my major artery in my heart. I was 98% occluded in my widowmaker, as they told me. And they told me that while I was laying on the table getting ready to get a catheter put in. And I said, guys, you think that's really smart? My heart now is pounding out of my chest. But I also take things very lightly. I didn't get upset. I didn't get excited. I was making jokes in the ambulance. I was making jokes at the hospital. And because I don't think of things, if I put myself into fear mode, I would end up with a problem. And
right.
I don't do that. So everything went beautifully. I had no problems. I was home the next day. I didn't have a heart attack. It missed my heart. It didn't quite get that far. Everything was timed divinely. And I'm human, just like everybody else. And, you know, I had high cholesterol. So now I watch my cholesterol like other people. Okay?
Right.
And, you know, I did a show with Teresa once, and I tried to explain to people, it was right after the cancer, and I tried to explain to people that even healers get sick. Now, think about what I said earlier. I tell everybody that emotional traumas and upsets are what make us sick. Now, I had a dad who died in 2008, who I took care of. I was pretty much his primary caretaker. My mom, who passed in 2009, which I also, after my dad died, I spent three nights a week with her. I was teaching class at home. My husband was sick with cancer for 10 years. I was taking care of him. I was running back and forth. I didn't have time for me.
Right.
I didn't even stop to think about me.
You were stretched.
Exactly. But again, when the cancer came, it was divinely timed because I got it in December, and I had enough time to heal, to have the surgery. I took a month off from work because I thought it was going to be a big deal. Didn't turn out to be a big deal, but I said, I'll keep the month off. And my husband started his decline on February 5th. So The timing could not have been better, because had he gotten sick without me being diagnosed, I would never have made it to the doctor. I spent the next 7 months taking care of him, and I would have been in trouble by the time, because I never, ever, ever would have even considered taking care of myself at that point. I wouldn't have had time. I didn't have any symptoms, by the way, none whatsoever, so I would never have gone to the doctor. I only went because my daughter pestered me to go. And she said, Ma, you got to go to the doctor. You don't go to the doctor. And I said, I heal myself. She said, you got to go. And so that's kind of how it happened. But I do feel it was totally divinely timed. Every single bit of it was divinely timed.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's my story.
And it is an amazing story, you know. And I just have to say, again, I thank you so much for coming on here and agreeing to tell everybody your story and spend an hour and a half of your evening talking with me. And I'm sure you've done this a million zillion times over and over and over again, but I just absolutely love you. I love your energy. You were one of the first people
I love you
that
too.
I sought out. But well, I needed to hear.
I get asked more and more now all the time to go on the radio, and I love it.
I love it.
Because
I love it.
It's more people that I can reach. And if I can tell people the story and teach people what I can teach them and help them not have anxiety by covering up, you know, their solar plexus, then, you know, it's that many more people. It's great. It's wonderful. I'll do it over and over again.
The fears. That's the main thing that I literally preach about. I want to record myself so that I can save my voice sometimes and just hit repeat on it. Don't feed your fears. You know, I'm constantly feeding your fears. Yes. I just was going to say, would you tell everyone where they can find you? A number, or how can they reach you to get these healings and have these past life regressions and different counseling sessions and teachings that you offer? Where can they find your information?
Well, on Facebook, for one. Facebook, I have a public page, and most of the things I advertise are on there. I have a website, patlongo.net. It's not .com, it's .net. I have my email is patlongo1111@gmail.com, and the phone number is 516-433-5279. Email is always best. Facebook messages, I get so many, I can't even keep up with them because they have this other tricky little word called other, and every time I find other, I find another 100 Facebook messages that I missed. That's not my best way. My email is the best because I have an assistant that sits there all day long and goes through the emails and makes sure that she makes the appointments and the calls and emails people back and stars them if I have to talk to them. And so at least I know I have a little bit more control with the email.
With the email.
There, my website has my information on it, all of it, of how to reach me as well. So I'm here so far. So far, I'm still able to reach, you know, for people to reach me. And that could change a year from now. I don't know, because sometimes it gets so busy, I can't keep up with myself. But
well,
I
love
do
the fact
honor
that
myself.
You also just did the psychic fair.
Yes. Oh, yes, I do that. I have two more coming up. I just booked them. And the psychic fair is a way of giving my students a showcase so that they can read and show what they've learned, and they can also spread their business, even build a business by being showcased in the fair. I'm very picky. My students have to be tested. People actually come in from out of state, from several states, to read at the fairs, and I tell them the same thing. You have to be tested, just like any one of my students. You have to come in, and I get a whole group of people I don't know, and I have them sit down, and they have to do rounds of maybe six people every 15 minutes, maybe even eight sometimes, and then I grade them. And if they make 90%, they go in the fair. If they don't get that far, they have to practice more. Doesn't mean they're not good. It just means they're not ready. And
right.
Then they have to go and practice more. I tell them how to make practice, and then they come back the next time. So it's, again, it's my reputation. So I
exactly.
want everybody to be able to read well, and I want the people that come to the fair to be happy. And so I do them three times a year, every 4 months. And so I'm all set for the next one in August and then November. I haven't posted them yet. I haven't put them up. My students
That's awesome.
Don't know yet. But
well,
I'm in the process.
That right there.
All of that.
That right there, your stamp of approval is what I respected. That's why I sought you out. That's why I wanted to hear the words out of your mouth say, you know, yes, you're
the
legit.
Real deal.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, you are. You read me, and your reading was spot on. And just for those that are listening, what I normally do is after I try to train someone over during sessions on the phone, when they feel they're ready, they call me up, and we set up a time one evening, and they read me. Now, they read me not because I need a reading. They read me because I can break it down, and it's more of a teaching instruction. I can break it down and say, okay, how did you get this? Or why don't you try it this way? Or maybe you can expand it this way. So it's, and once I know how someone reads, I'm able to help them with their pricing, help them with their business, help them get started to get out there and help others. So that's what I do. And you pass
you just
with flying
help
colors.
So many people in so many different ways that it's just absolutely amazing to me that, I mean, it's just so, you have your hand in so many different cookie jars. You know, it's like I expect to see you disappear for months at a time to recoup from all of this that you're doing for so many. I think you're an absolute
I'm also the
wonderful
I'm also
person.
The Energizer Rabbit. I don't run out
right.
of energy. I'm very strong with energy. I don't run out of it, and I don't use my energy. I use theirs, so it keeps me balanced. I also keep myself very balanced with my family life. I have five children, and I'm on my 16th grandchild is coming up in July.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And they all live around me, so I get to go to lots of baseball, lacrosse, soccer games, swimming, dancing, theater shows. I go everywhere. So I have my family time, and I have my work time, and I have my class time. So I balance it
healthy
out.
Healthy balance.
And, you know, and everybody has to honor themselves and have that, take that time for themselves. I get a massage every week without fail. Because that's what I do for me.
Yes.
Years. I started with once a month, and I went every other week, and now it's every week, and I wouldn't miss it for anything. And, you know, that's how I honor me. I make sure that I take care of myself as well. So I think we probably over-talked our time.
I know. I have to – I'm being prompted by the – automatic person that we're running out of time. So with that, I would like to thank you so very much, Miss Pat, for coming on here and doing this with me. I appreciate it more than you will ever know. I appreciate everything you do, and you are literally an angel among us. I do feel that for sure.
Thank you.
I want to thank you for everything you do for everybody. You're just a beautiful soul, and I hope to be able to connect with you again in the future, and thank you so much for joining us tonight.
We will do that, I promise. Okay, and thank you for having me. I loved it, and I love you, and keep up the good work.
All right, well, thank you so much. With that, I'm going to close out this episode. Thank you all so much for joining us here tonight. Stay tuned for more live chats with people that can help us help each other. Thank you all so much, and good night.
Good night.